hour number one of today's show, where we'll be talking all about the Youngstown State Women's Lacrosse program. And then the second hour will feature Bob Hannon, as he'll speak with members of the Youngstown State football team as they preview their matchup this upcoming weekend against the number two team in the FCS, South Dakota State. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome in the head coach of the Youngstown State Women's Lacrosse program, Liza Oakley. Coach Oakley, thanks for joining me.
Of course. How are you, Anthony?
Doing well, doing well. It's been a crazy fall here at Youngstown State. Mm-hmm. Sports are starting to get into it, but you're kind of on the lucky end where lacrosse is a spring sport, so you get to start out a little bit slower, I guess. Not necessarily from your perspective, but from everyone else. You start to play later in the year, so you get to kind of ease into practices and all that stuff. Before we get into kind of your past and everything and how you got to Youngstown State, I want to talk about this year's program. You're a first-year head coach. What does a fall look like for Youngstown State's women's lacrosse team?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the fall for us, we're really starting small in building up to the big picture. It's so important for me to have our athletes know that we have to break things down in order to really see the big picture, be able to get into systems, whether it's offense, defense, draw unit. And that's really over the last, 3 weeks now, which is crazy to think we've been practicing for 3 weeks. That's what we've been doing. And the girls have been really receptive to it. And they're picking up a lot really fast. I can't say enough how coachable they are and their work ethic. And then we'll build up to that going into our second semester this spring. But like you said, I really appreciate having the fall. I can't imagine fall sports where they have to implement their freshmen right away. And it's like they have a week or two and then here sees it and you got to figure it out. So it's just definitely a different dynamic. But obviously spring sports are all I know. So again, I'm so used to that progression. But yeah.
And so this is the second consecutive week now on the Penguin Playbook radio show that we're able to speak with first-year head coaches. Last week we had the Youngstown State Women's Soccer Program and their head coach, Rich Wall. He was named the head coach the first day of January here in 2025, mm-hmm. and it gave him a lot of time to really build up that spring ball with his team and then get to his season in the fall. You were named the head coach of the Youngstown State Women's Lacrosse Program in July, which includes – a couple different aspects when it comes to the transfer portal. You're so late in the window trying to fill out a roster. I have to ask you, has everything kind of slowed down a little bit to you now that we're a few weeks into the semester?
Definitely, I will say July in itself was a whirlwind just because that is peak recruiting season for us. So we're now looking at 2027s, which are the juniors in high school. So we're trying to navigate all that and on top of trying to figure out our current roster. There were quite a few girls that decided to transfer out, which is totally understandable, just trying to see what's best for them. That's what the transfer portal's for. So I was really lucky. Our one assistant, who her name's also Liza, funny enough, kind of was doing a lot of work behind the scenes before I was hired, and she had a lot of great transfer options. So we were able to pick up a junior goalie transfer, Alyssa Edwards, who's coming from us from Towson, and Towson's known for having amazing goalie talent. So she's been doing great in practice so far. And again, super grateful to that. And just trying to navigate all that stuff. I kept saying, like, just got to get to September. And that's when the fun starts, right? I get to work with the current girls. It was a trying time, not going to lie, but we made it through, right? Like coaching, depending on where you are, it's always kind of the same as just navigating the new place that you're working at. So
yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And we'll touch on it more later on in the second segment when we talk, but the program recently hired Julia Frombach as an assistant onto the staff. And before she was hired, it was kind of funny from our perspective because it was just the Liza and Liza show. Really.
Yeah.
The two coaches on the staff were both named Liza, which was just a funny thing in its own sense. But let's take a step back real quick. Grew up in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Yep.
Where did your love for lacrosse begin?
Well, funny you ask that. So lacrosse was the last sport I tried.
Okay.
I was resistant to it. It's a classic case of your mom always knows best. She played lacrosse in college at RIT. That's where actually both my parents are from, Western New York, and they met at RIT. But she loved lacrosse. My little sister Meredith, who also played lacrosse in college, like she started way young. I was doing everything. I was a soccer player, a swimmer. I thought I was going to be an Olympic swimmer at one point.
Okay.
I played softball, like did all these other things, and I was just so resistant on lacrosse and finally was like, fine, Mom, I'll try it. And it was kind of an instant. I fell in love with it. I started in eighth grade, so that's definitely later in the process. And where I'm from in Connecticut isn't necessarily a lacrosse hotbed. You really see Fairfield County, which is kind of closer to New York City. That area is definitely bigger for lacrosse. So the club team that I played for was actually, I've been in so many different processes where you start from the ground up and you see the growth of it. Like my club that I played for was brand new when I started playing, and I really am so appreciative of Dee Steffen, who was the is the founder of Dodgers Lacrosse, but now they've merged with DULAX. But she really taught me the love of the game. Like she really preached, you have to love what you're doing, and that's what's going to make you successful. So it was really cool to kind of be in that experience so young, like seeing the process of how you build something and why it's so important to be consistent. And it was just really cool to be an alumni of that program and see how that progressed. But yeah, I kind of started again, I started late. So,
and that, I think that makes it even more impressive that obviously you had a natural talent for the sport of lacrosse. You started in eighth grade, and a few years later, you're playing Division I level lacrosse at Mount St. Mary's University, appeared in 34 games over your career. What are some of your fondest memories of your college playing days at Mount St. Mary's?
I mean, it was my teammates. Like our school is very small. When I went, it was just under 2,000 undergrad, and it was just kind of an instant connection with the community, and that's something that's so important to me. And I even see this at Youngstown. Like, there's so much pride for my university and my teammates. Like, my freshman year, I want to say we had 18 girls on the team, and by my senior year, we only had 22. So we were a tight-knit group, and no matter what the situation was, we had each other's back. And there's just so many amazing memories, not just from winning games and seeing the program get super successful, and my class in particular was a big part of that, but just, again, like, I just appreciate my teammates so much. Like, I still talk to them all the time. But that process was really neat, and I'm seeing a lot of parallels, actually, with my experience here, where my head coach, who's still there, Lauren Skelschalk, now was Schwartzman, but she was a first-time head coach my age now.
Okay.
And my seniors at the time had 3-4 different head coaches at that point. And I was the freshman class that came in with a coach that didn't necessarily recruit us. Now we're seeing how to build a program, right? And I've told our current players that, I'm like, there's so much connection here. Like, I've been through it as a player and seen, like, again, how it is to build up a program. So it's really cool on my end now to be – it's my turn to be the coach, not to be corny. But it's definitely, like, you can't deny some of the parallels there.
And I think it's always so cool. You know, week in, week out, we talk to student-athletes, which we'll speak with Skylar Pigram and Emma Hoffman coming up later. And the student-athletes always preach the camaraderie that they have with their teammates. And I think in any sport, especially at the collegiate level, you need to have camaraderie to be successful, because these are the other individuals that you're going to have to lean on when times get tough. And, you know, I know you've mentioned two coaches, Coach Lauren at Mount St. Mary's and one of your club coaches. And that leads me to my next question. Was coaching always a goal of yours when you were playing? And were there any coaches that really you looked up to as mentors that led you to where you are now?
I mean, being a girl from Connecticut, I was a UConn women's basketball fan through and through. And Gino Auriemma is, I fangirl over him all the time. But definitely looked up to that program, those girls. I grew up going to those games and just listening to how he coaches. Like, he's tough, but he's so fair. And you can just see the love and respect from his players for over a couple decades now, if you think about it. So he's someone I definitely really looked up to on the coaching side growing up. But I think for coaching in general, I got my master's, and one of my professors said to me, it was one of my leadership class, actually, and he was like, think back to when you were a child and what you liked to do for fun and how you played. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I found myself in leadership coaching role. So kind of, I mentioned my swimming earlier, but I was a younger swimmer and I got pulled up to swim with the older girls, but so I didn't swim necessarily with my grade, but the practice was right after. I had myself next to my coaches on that swim deck helping the younger kids because I wanted to show them how much I love swimming and wanted to help them. Like, I've always found, so like that's one little example. I also helped my mom coach my little sister. The 1 year I started coaching lacrosse, like I knew what the heck I was doing. I really didn't, but I just always found myself wanting to help others and be in those coaching roles. It just kind of, it's in my nature for the most part, but you didn't realize it until obviously you get to the point where you're like, this, I want this to be my career. So,
and so you talk about how that helping aspect's always been a part of you. You've always wanted to help others even since a young age. So after your playing career finished up, you moved on to Lynchburg University where you were a graduate assistant for 2 seasons. What were some of those key coaching qualities that you learned during those first 2 years as an assistant on a staff that you use as a foundation for the way that you coach today?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some learning curves, let me tell you. So you go from being used to what you're used to, right, being at your program for 4 years, and I was lucky enough to have my head coach all for 4 years, so that consistency, right? Mm-hmm. And you go in into a new program, and you're like, okay, my players are going to be able to pick up exactly what I'm telling them to do, right? Wrong. You got to meet them where they're at, and the athletes are changing year to year of how you communicate with them, what they need, how they learn, right? And I think I learned in that first year, these athletes want to know the why behind things. Mm-hmm. Long are the days that you say, go do this drill and don't ask questions, right? Just do it. They're like, why are we doing these little things? Like, why is this important? And at first, that was definitely a learning curve, like thinking, are you talking back to me? Just do it, right? But no, they generally just want to know how to execute things and why that makes sense of where this is getting implemented in a game, right? And that definitely took me a minute to kind of realize, okay, that's where they're coming from. So now whenever I'm explaining things, it's really, again, breaking things down and explaining where you will see this in a game, as little as how we're drop stepping and curling out of a stick work routine. Like, you're going to use that when you're under pressure in the clear, or if you're on offense, you had a drive and you got pressure on the defender and now you want to get separation, right? Like, little things like that. I think that was the biggest one in my first 2 years. And I was lucky enough, all my bosses that I've worked for have given me a lot of autonomy to try different things and allow me to fail, right? Yeah. And that's what we expect from our athletes, to like try things, and it's okay if you fail because you're going to learn from them. So again, that's where I kind of gotten a lot of my foundation from, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we talked a little bit about your time as a GA at Lynchburg University, and before we head to our first break, that was the only stop you've had as a college coach where you were below the Division I level. Your next 3 stops are all back up at the D1 level, starting off at Fresno State, Butler, and then Bucknell. We'll first talk about Fresno State. The big thing that popped out to me, you're from Connecticut. How did you get your way to Fresno State, and was there a little bit of homesickness for you during those first few months so far away from home on the other side of the country?
Not necessarily. I really give a lot of credit to my parents where they're like, you got to put yourself out there in order to see what makes sense for you and what you like. And best believe I was scared. Oh my gosh. Like, especially going that far away. I mean, I think that really, that mentality was instilled in me in high school because I went to a private Catholic high school. I could have gone to GHS, which is where I really grew up. And then we moved to West Hartford where Northwest Catholic is, my junior year of high school. But that was scary too, because you're leaving the friends you've known since kindergarten, preschool even, right? So and then in college, same thing. I was, my out of my siblings, I'm the only one that went out of state, and that was 5 hours away. So then like going to Virginia next, now California, now Indianapolis, which funny enough, my sister's there now. And I'm like, are you following me around? And bring it back to Pennsylvania, obviously now Ohio. So like I've always had the mentality of, you got to just put yourself out there. You don't know what's out there and what's for you until you actually try. That's basically how I was brought up. And some moments are great and others are not, but you work through it and you figure out what works, right?
Yeah. And so our final question before we head to our first break, you spent 1 year at Fresno State, and then 1 year at Butler, and then you spent the last few seasons at Bucknell, three to be exact, as the top assistant for the Bison. That time at Bucknell, you started this trajectory all the way from a GA to an assistant to an assistant. Now you're the top assistant at Bucknell. What were those last 3 years like for you, and how do you think those 3 years helped mold you into someone who is ready to become a head coach?
Yeah, so having the privilege of coaching the Patriot League was such a great experience over the last 3 years, because we're playing against nationally ranked programs, girls that are getting nominated for the Torton Award, and just nationally ranked in different stat categories like the draw. So you got to be on your A game as a coach, right? Uh-huh. And you have to adapt or die, not to be like dramatic, but that's basically what it is. And I really had to push myself outside my comfort zone and come up with new ideas. And something that I'm so, so proud of is the defense that I implemented this past season. And we had nationally ranked stats in our zone defense that we did. And my defenders really bought into it. Like, we were averaging 15 to 18 cause turnovers a game, and that was on defense. That wasn't necessarily with cause turnovers in the ride. Like, that was our zone, and that really kind of gave our team a lot of energy and buy-in, and it was just super exciting to see. And I was able, like, I'm so lucky with women's lacrosse. Everybody is so willing to help you, and if you go out there and you ask the question. So I did a lot of research on this zone. I've kind of been thinking about it for 2 years now. And then kind of saw Yale's, and I'm like, that's kind of what I want to do. So I called up the Yale coach, Colleen, who is their defensive coordinator, and picked her brain on their zone. And we kind of put something together that was similar, not exact carbon copy, but like, again, like doing your research, looking at schools that you like how they play. Maybe they match styles of your players. So, those experiences really helped give me the confidence to go and become a head coach. And on top of all that too, like, yes, I'm more defensive minded, but I'm coaching offense all the time. Like, just with our scouts that we have to implement, like, I'm running scout team stuff. And again, we're going up against some nationally ranked programs, so I'm running their plays. Yeah. So I see, again, what works and what doesn't. So those experiences really just molded me into the coach I am today, which I really appreciate.
Awesome. Well, we're obviously very lucky and happy to have you here at Youngstown State. That'll take us to our first break. When we come back, we'll learn about how Coach Oakley made her way to Youngstown, and we'll learn about this upcoming season's team when we return in the opening hour of our Penguin Playbook radio show. Welcome back inside the Boardman Quaker Steak and Lube. Here's where we resume hour number one of this week's Penguin Playbook radio show. I'm Anthony Romo, pleased to be joined with Youngstown State Women's Lacrosse head coach Liza Oakley. Before we get back into our talk with Coach Oakley, I want to give across a message about the Youngstown State football team. This Saturday, the YSU football team returns home to host nationally ranked South Dakota State at 6 p.m. The tailgate lots open at noon, so come early and watch other games on the large screen video board in the main lot. All fans receive Penguin Stadium flag courtesy of Panera, Medical Mutual, Pepsi, Varsity Club Youngstown, and 21 WFMJ. For tickets, call 330-941-1YSU or go to YSUsports.com. Pleased to be rejoined with the head coach of the Youngstown State Women's Lacrosse Program, Liza Oakley. So, Coach, we kind of hinted at it earlier. You were named the head coach this past July, about a month and a half ago or 2 months ago here now. What was it about Youngstown State that made this a place you wanted to even apply for the head coaching role?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I always knew this summer I was considering looking at head coach positions. It was either going to be this coming summer or this past summer that I was really going to hit the ground running. And I quite honestly was super impressed because my administrator happened to reach out to me and see if I'd be interested in applying. And again, that mentality of I'm going to keep an open mind, right? And I'm going to go out there and apply and hear what the school has to offer. I think a biggest thing for me in choosing my next position, being a head coach, was I wanted to make sure that this program was supported. I felt supported, right, as a new time head coach, and that the team was ready to kind of flip the switch and really push and want to be successful in our conference, the MAC. And I really found all that through the interview process and my own research. And I've been to Ohio before, really only the Columbus area, I'd say, and Cincinnati. Like, Didn't really know much about Youngstown. Again, I've been a little over the place. I'm open to new possibilities. And when I got to campus, I was really just blown away. Again, talking about the community piece, like, you really felt it. The pride here at the university, as well as the town of Youngstown itself, like, everybody's so proud to be here and be a part of this school and to be a Penguin. I love Penguins. I always have
perfect
growing up.
So
it was it was an added bonus for sure. And that's infectious, right? That's a big part of, like, if you are happy where you are and you're proud of it, like, that makes people want to show up every day. And I really found that in, it really starts from the top down. I was really impressed with our athletic director, Ron Strollo, and just how passionate he was. And obviously, he has deep ties to the university as well. And it truly is a family for him, right? Like, he went here, met his wife here, his kids went here. Like, it was really amazing to see that people really believed in this place. And it was just undeniable. I'm like, I just had a feeling in my gut. I'm like, this is where I need to be. And, my Brian Welch, my administrator, but also my dad, I'm like, are you two talking to each other? I swear. Yeah. They're like, you are allowed to be yourself here and be tall. Like, I'm a tall girl, right? Like, growing up, like, always taller than everybody else, like, felt like sometimes you had to shrink yourself. It was like, no, here you can be what you want to be and you can make it your own. And I really felt that, like, so I was really excited about this opportunity and to get offered the position. And I'm really grateful to my boss, Jackie Dando at Bucknell. Like, she was so supportive through the whole process, and really just encouraging me. And everything just fell into place, right?
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier. So you take the head coaching job, and college student athletes at any time have the chance to go into the transfer portal and kind of see different places. Coming in as late as you did in July, right before the school year really started, what kind of approach did you take to reaching out to the returning players, some who may be uncertain about having a new head coach, and trying to kind of lay down that stability that makes them want to play for you here at Youngstown State?
Yeah, I mean, that was my first, I mean, everything was a whirlwind. So basically, I verbally accepted and kind of got information on some of the girls that were in the transfer portal, and they were ready to make decisions pretty quickly. So I had to get moving on them right away and kind of have that conversation with them. And what really was impressive to me, and this is the whole entire team, that everybody had such a positive outlook on their experience, even with some ups and downs here and there, but they were very much like, I just want to see, a lot of the conversations where I just want to see what my opportunities are, really understand, like, what's best for me. And I always take this approach in recruiting. I'm like, listen, like, you got to go do what you got to do. Go look at other places. Go see what makes the most sense for you. And if you decide ultimately it's not here, that's okay, because I want you to be here, because I don't want you to fight. Like,
you want to be fully bought
exactly,
in.
Exactly, right? Like, I want you to be so happy at where you are. You know, that sounds counterintuitive, right? I'm telling them to go other places, but the people that are supposed to be here will be here. And I really had some awesome conversations, and the girls that did decide to stay, like, they were so bought in, and I know 100% that they want to be here, right? Like, there's no wavering question. And those girls in particular have been working, I mean, everybody's been working hard, but, like, it's just been really cool to see, like, how happy they are and that they're pushing and they want to learn. And this is the whole team. So I mean, like, the transfer kids were the first ones I talked to try to see what made the most sense for them, right?
So you mentioned 3 weeks of practice thus far for the team, a little bit more, maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks into the fall semester. So you talk about laying that groundwork with the student athletes. A rather young team we have this season. Not too many upperclassmen on the team. So those few upperclassmen that are here should really stick out as leaders to you. I want to ask you, who are some of those student athletes that you have spotted early on that you're like, okay, I can count on them to bring the other players in when times are tough?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I haven't spoken about them yet, but the senior class really impressed me. We talked extensively over the summer. We had a 2-hour Zoom the first time that we kind of officially met, and we were going over what the expectations and what the values are for the team. And they're just in such an energetic group and really were just excited for change. And they've seen so much change over their 4 years here. And they're like, no, like, we have the talent. We know what we can do. Like, we just want to be coached, right? Yeah. Like, and we want to bring everybody with us. And as a coach, that makes my job so much easier, mm-hmm. right? I was so excited to hear that. And there's just so much passion behind how they speak and how much they love Youngstown and the team in general. And we came up with, as a group, some values for the team this year and really wanted them to be a part of it, because if they don't believe in what we're doing, that's not doing anything, yeah. right? So they've really have pushed the underclassmen and kept them in line, let's just say that, right? And made sure, like, no, like, this is where we're going. We need to work hard, like, mm-hmm. and everybody's bought in, no questions asked. But if I didn't have them, like, it'd be an uphill battle half the time, right? Because to your point, there's 14 freshmen, there's 8 sophomores, right? Like, so that's more than half the team right there. Definitely. So they definitely bring the spirit of the program, and I appreciate them so much.
And you've talked a little bit in our first segment about your stops as an assistant. And mm-hmm. when I looked at just on paper, you controlled a lot of the draws as an assistant. You kind of led that stand front. And you talked about the zone defense at Bucknell causing a lot of turnovers. So we learned a little bit about your philosophy and kind of where your strengths are. What should fans expect to see from a Liza Oakley-led team this spring here at Youngstown State?
I think the biggest thing that you're going to see is that we're relentless and we work hard to the last whistle, and that we're working for each other. I am really big on systematic, unit-based teamwork, and you give them the freedom to do, especially offense, right, what we're doing and have the tools to understand some different lacrosse IQ pieces and reading the defense. But all over the field, I want us to know that you are working hard for your teammate. You are not working for yourself. Like, if there's a cause turnover on us, say, and we have to hustle and get back, like, we're busting our butt to get that ball back for our teammate, or like a midfielder, right, like, has to get back on defense and sprinting, like, finding those different situations. Or if our teammate's under pressure in the clear and like we're an attacker that's busting our butt to trying to get downfield for them, like, different situations like that. I really just want us to be known for being workhorses above all else. And I really believe, just thinking about some of the teams I've been a part of, I think back to actually my high school soccer team. We were 3-time state championships. I really appreciated my high school coach. Like, he trained us like college athletes, but he was like, the best teams win games, right? And we were very systematic. We're like, no, like, this is where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be it. And it was really cool, again, to be a part of that experience. And you see, like, time and time again, think of, in lacrosse terms, Northwestern, UNC, like, those coaching staffs have expectations and systems in place, and everybody buys into it, right? And that's really what I'm trying to bring here as much as possible.
I love that. And so I'm going to leave with one final question. Okay. You talked about how young this team is. Mm-hmm. So many freshmen and sophomores in a very small senior class. Just how important are these early season fall practices and these fall ball games for getting these younger players up to speed with the pace of play at the collegiate level, and also the physicality that you have to play with to be successful in women's college lacrosse?
Yeah, I mean, as coaches, it's our job to put them in situations where they can be successful and they're getting that repetition and finding different things that puts them under pressure. And again, Gino has said this all the time, practice should be 10 times harder than a game, right? Uh-huh. So I'm thinking of different scenarios where there's clock regulations, right, where it's 2 minutes left in a game and this is, and we're down by one and this is the scenario, right, and putting him in situations like that. We'll eventually get there. We're still working our way up to that, but just finding different ways to make them successful and put them in game scenarios, so when we do get to a game, we're unfazed, right? Like, we're like, oh, we've seen that before, whatever.
Yeah.
And can move forward. So we're working through that right now, but it's all positive, exciting things. And it's really cool to be a part of something that you're building.
Awesome.
And yeah, just really appreciate all this experience that I'm getting here.
Awesome. Well, Coach, we're very lucky and pleased to have you here at Youngstown State as the program's head coach. That'll do it for the first part of our first hour of the Penguin Playbook radio show. Thank you, Coach Oakley. When we come back, we'll speak with Skylar Pigram and Emma Hoffman of the Youngstown State Women's Lacrosse Team when we return on the Penguin Playbook radio show.